Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
With the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess. And joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, and Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Happy Halloween, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Yes, indeed. Happy Halloween to everyone out there. Harry, you can't see, is in the Halloween spirit. He's wearing a jester cap. And is that because you lost, what did you have, 38 bets yesterday? What did you say? You were in such a bad mood last night when we went on Spotify Live.
I'm never in a bad mood for the most part. But boy, we'll get to bet aches later. But boy, I've got a handful of bet aches that I have to choose from. So I'm still considering which one to choose. So, I mean, it was a nightmare over the weekend. I banged up last night. So I'm in a better mood today.
Yeah, he was really down. He was really down. Yeah, he was. Pauly kid, really down.
But, yeah, he really was.
We'll get to that. We'll recap the action in the NFL yesterday. We're going to get to the Monday game. We'll break it down. Side, total, prop. First touchdown pick. Oh, my God. We're dynamite with those. Mattress Mac will join us. Talk about being in a bad mood. He could potentially blow $75 million. Oh. Guy sells mattresses. I think it's a $10 million. We'll have to talk to him about it. But anyway, he's going to call in and figure it out. I think he staked $10 million to win $75. Go ahead, Harry. You want to jump in here? What?
I was just going to say, I do jokingly tell Brian he has unlimited funds for his gambling most of the time. But how about Mattress Mac? Unbelievable with his bets.
I know a lot of it. Some of it is to offset a promotional thing he does because he's giving away free mattresses if the Astros win the World Series. Yeah. So he's on the hook for about $10 million. I don't know. We'll get the money out of him. He's kind of a crazy person, but he's going to set us straight. We'll have him on later in the hour. But without further ado, right now, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the degenerate trifecta in a segment we hate to call bet aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, I'll start. Game one, Astros, Mattress Max team, Verlander, 5-run lead, blows it, tied. Bottom of the ninth, Jeremy Pena hits a ball, sinking pop-up to the outfield. Nick Castellanos has no business getting to it, but he did because Keith Hernandez inspired this entire defense by calling them dog crap. And now I don't know if they made an error since, but anyway, extends the game, extra innings. Phillies go up one, bottom 10, first and second, two out for my Astros. Got a lot of money on them. Aledmys Diaz pinch hitting. Now he's 1-for-14 batting for Trey Mancini, who's 0-for-16. Probably kid, these are the numbers you see throughout the series.
Yeah.
All bad batting, right? So okay, 1-for-14's up there. Robertson, wild pitch, right? Sends it to second and third now, two out. 2-0. Diaz leans into it, gets hit with it. Umpire's like, not so fast. Get back there. Could have called it a strike, but 3-0. He gets the green light swinging on 3-0. This is a 1-for-14 hitter. Lazy swing miss. Second one, that, by the way, it was ball 4 he swung at. Yeah. And the 3-1, soft ground to the third. I lose my game one bet. Congratulations, whoever had the Phillies at 18-1 down 5 in the fourth. You did. Wow.
Oh, I had good them. Good job. Oh, I had them for that game.
Terrible. All right, Bry, hit us with your bet ache.
Well, I will say it probably should be my Sharp Tank, right? I gave out Oklahoma State getting 1.5. You lose 48-0. Sal, you really, I know we talked about Oklahoma State killing us. You really should have just, told me it wasn't allowed. You should have said
I should have said that. It's a matter of time before they join the AFC South, just amongst the untouchable teams. But go ahead. Yeah.
But yeah, that had to be one of the worst we've ever given out. I mean, they lose 48-0. 48-0. But I'm going to say the biggest one for me, I lost some money with that, but not a ton. The biggest one for me, Giants cost me a ton. I had them everywhere.
Oh,
I had them plus 3.5, plus 10. I know Darren was telling me all day yesterday how much he loved the Seahawks, but I had him plus 3.5, plus 10. So I had him teasers tied to everything, but tied at 13 in the fourth. I felt like that was a field goal game the way that was going. The Giants were lucky to kind of be into it because Lockett made a couple of terrible plays. But even when they went up 7, I kind of still felt pretty good. I was like, you know what? As long as I win these teasers, I'll be all right. It'll be a great day for me. They turned the ball over on the punt, and then they drive down the field and they don't score. So they lose by 14. But at the end of the day, moral of the story is Eddie blew it.
Yeah, I wish Spaghetti was here to talk about it. He hasn't returned yet. I think he's okay because he took a couple, you know, it made him feel good. He took a couple shots at Tony Romo. What the hell does Tony Romo have to do with
about?
That?
What was that about? You know, Romo had a winning record against the Giants. Exactly, like, what is Eddie saying?
I pointed that out to Eddie, he lashes out. So I don't know. he'll be down on his knees attempting to throw a ball in just a week. So we'll see. Might be more embarrassment for Eddie Spaghetti. But fruitless outing as he goes to Seattle and the Giants lose their second game. All right, Harry, you're dressed for the occasion. Give us your bet.
All right. Well, there's many to choose them. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Saturday night. Saturday night, I had $50 at Caesars. And remember, this is coming off the heels of last week when I had the home run parlay that should have got me $1,900. Didn't get me there when I needed Harper to get a homer and it gets you double. So on Saturday night, game 2 of the World Series, I have Kyle Schwarber to hit a home run, $50 at plus 450. And throughout the day, the line got down to plus 400. So I'm like, wow, people like this. I got plus 450. Eighth inning comes around, and we know that he unleashes a rip down the right field line, which apparently was a home run and made the game 5-3 at the time as he touches home plate. And then the Astros challenge and say that it was foul as the fans are waving at telling the umpires that this was a foul ball. Now, when we see the highlight, I mean, I had the money that he touched it. It wasn't just maybe he's going down first base and the umpire calls him back. He touches home plate. It's 5-3. ESPN says 5-3. Everyone says 5-3. Anyways, they review it and they disallow it. Now, I kind of get it that it was foul, but can you really tell that the ball didn't nudge
No, yeah, you can.
Can you really
tell?
Yes, you
can.
No, you can't. Yeah,
you can really tell. You can. Nobody argued.
And then I can't believe what I'm seeing, and I text you guys this, and then of course, he's still at bat, you know, still at bat. And then he hits a shot to right field, and the right fielder plays like, doesn't even move. Like, he's on the warning track, doesn't even move. So I'm like, this is gotten. I got it anyways. And then he catches it right deepest part of the wall, the warning track, and catches it, and I don't get the home run.
I thought that was gone. I thought that second one.
Didn't you think so?
Well, the way Schwarber swung the bat and the way he stood there for a second, I was like, all right, that's gone. And the way, you're right, Tucker just kind of stood at the wall for a second and then just...
Basically, you've been crying for a couple days now about a foul ball.
Crying?
And crying. A flyout to the wall.
A long flyout. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You would call that crying?
Yeah, you've been crying for 2 days.
I'm crying? Okay, gotcha.
I do like how angry Harry is and with that ridiculous headwear right there, whatever he's got on his head. So it all makes sense in the air.
You're crying when Von John called last night on Spotify. You're crying.
I think those days are over, by the way. I don't know what that gives us. Yeah, that is crazy that he exited that at-bat with an out after all that. You're not going to see that a lot. A guy cross home plate, the 3 flashes up, Astros 5-3, and nope, let's take another look. But that was a foul ball, Harry. Come on.
From that angle, the ball could have, a seam could have touched that yellow, and we'll never know.
I don't even think it was close to the foul ball. I couldn't tell by
those three instant replays. I couldn't tell.
I mean, listen, in a day and age where everybody argues about anything, I don't see anyone except you
that's really my point.
Challenging this. Yeah. All right. There you go. All right, Mikey Meatballs, play the sad music and then we'll move on.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad egg. It's a bad egg. It's a bad egg.
All right, lots to recap. Sunday action, week 8. Yeah, you know, Parley Kid, you hit your Sharp Tank. Good job by you. Oh, that was the way to do it.
So
that was the only bet anyone should have made. The
old-time,
old-fashioned three-team teaser or money-line parlay with the Cowboys to win, with the Phillies to win, and with the Bills to take care of the Packers.
My plus, I think my plus 201 two won, too. My two, plus 201.
Oh, you did? What was your extra? Yeah. Oh, did you have Atlanta on that?
Atlanta.
So yeah, so don't cry about anything. That's ridiculous.
Please, please, please.
Yeah. He said he didn't bet it, though. That was the one thing.
I didn't bet it.
Oh, really?
I threw the Colts money line on there. Another betting.
Listen, he can't keep track. We'll get to it. He also bet an over and an under. Was that in the Friday game or the Saturday game? It was game one. He bet the over and the under. Not that you bet it, but you gave it out as picks in the baseball game.
Excuse me for making a mistake.
I'm just saying, get your head together, man.
I'm giving heads up before we get to our Cincinnati Cleveland on our picks. Yeah. I did go with Cleveland, but I've changed my mind. And I'm going, we'll get to it.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Because I do want to recap Sunday first, Harry, I set up. But the London game, it was early. Boy, it's so much easier to take this in on the East Coast, I will say. I woke up in Florida, not Miami. But anyway, Jaguars blow a lead. What were they up, Brian? Was it 10-0?
Yeah, it was 10-0 early.
21-17 they lose.
It should have been 14 right away. Lucky.
Right. I thought, well, then I'm stupid. I live bet the Jaguars, of course, when they go up 10-0, I parlay it with a bunch of stuff that wins or whatever. I can't even remember. But anyway, Russell Wilson high kneed his way on the plane to a win. And the rest of the team is like, oh Christ, now we're going to have to deal with his high knee stuff on every flight. I think that everyone's going to be taking a bus from Denver to Kansas City just to get some sleep. Denver plus 670 to make the playoffs. Jacksonville 5-1 parlay kid. Denver 3-1, 3-5. Jacksonville 2-6. I think it's lights out for both these teams, but interesting to see a comeback. We see Russell Wilson and Nat Hackett put together a win.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, Sal? I have to say, right now, the one thing I have to say, between Wilson, Brady, Rodgers, these are all tremendous quarterbacks. I just think everybody's been piling on these guys so
Stafford,
much.
Stafford? Yeah.
I mean, this is the piling on. And as I said last week, I don't know, it's getting a little tiresome that, why don't we start blaming old linemen a little bit more. I know they don't get the recognition either, on the other hand, right? So I guess the quarterback's got to take the good with the bad. But
Don't think people were used to or figured that all four of these guys, or three or more, or
well,
six,
more would, now,
all
right?
falter at once. I know, it's just, I'm with you. Maybe
but
it's
they're not the
they
only ones faltering.
And,
really, what you have is, because you have all these young quarterbacks struggling too, really what it is just a small percent of guys who are playing high-level football, right? There's like six quarterbacks consistently playing high-level football, right? And those are the teams that we can probably predict are going to reach the Super Bowl this year. And, is Russell Wilson kind of a strange fella? Yeah, he's a strange one, I think. We never saw this side of him probably 7 or 8 years ago, but I don't know. I'd like to know what kind of teammate he is. We'll see, but
yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot of teammates are sticking up for him, past or present. And then, so I don't think they could ever say anything because he was so successful over the years.
That's the thing. Obviously, if he wasn't successful, you'd probably hear a lot more. But the game itself, Sal, I got to be honest. You know, I did not see one play in this game.
Really?
Probably one of the only football games in the last. I got home really late the night before, and I just could not bring myself, even on East Coast time.
Really?
I drove for 14 hours on Saturday. I could not shake myself.
Well, Darren's
out of
a late sleeper. Darren will sleep till noon. Well, if no one wakes him up, he could sleep through anything. No, this is unlike you. All right.
Believe me, I've investigated the game enough to know that it was your typical, what you thought the Denver Jaguar game would be, right?
I mean,
it was okay.
Yeah, we don't have to
spend
too much time on it. I just thought it was weird. Denver's plus 670 to make the playoffs in Jacksonville 5-1. Yeah,
three and five. Broncos aren't dead just yet. Not yet.
Yeah. I just don't. They have the Chiefs twice, don't they?
I think they're in a lot of trouble.
All right, Cowboys 6-2 now. I love it. I would have taken 6-2 before the season if we didn't know Dak was going to be hurt 75% of those first eight games or whatever it was, 70%, right? They nearly dropped 50 on the Bears. We're now 3-5, highest scoring game of the year, 49-29. They scored on the first four possessions. Sorry, Harry, you had the under, so now you're all over the Cowboys. You say their defense stinks, but well, what are you going to do?
No, I was dead wrong 2 weeks ago on the Bucs over Carolina. Dead wrong on this again. But I should have known better. I'm an idiot. I'm admitting it. Besides looking like an idiot, I'm an idiot. Because I should have realized, and I've been calling it the whole time, is that Elliott is holding this team back on offense. So with him letting Pollard get all the carries, Pollard is
not
a complete
all the carries. He had 14 carries. Complete stud
who breaks tackles, and he was unbelievable yesterday. Pollard needs to be the guy, number one, only, and they can beat whoever they want to play anytime because of him.
Right. Mm. 14 for 131. I'm not saying Pauly kid. I mean,
and three scores.
Unlike Zeke now. Right, sure.
And he flies. He gets through the first 5 yards, he flies.
I think everybody would like to see Pollard as the number one back, but I think the Cowboys have done a good job.
They have.
Of kind of basically prolonging both these careers of these gentlemen, because neither guy is carrying the ball 20, 25 times a game. And they've both been able to stay fresh. Pollard is not big enough to be an every down back, right? He's just not. Right. He's not big enough at this point.
But yeah, he's not getting 25 carries.
I think if you could get him 15 touches a game between a couple passes and some carries, that's about where he should be.
He's dynamic. Top five defense. Where were
he's
they
dynamic.
Pollard was running
the Cowboys'
wild.
Offense was they were super efficient yesterday. Yep. That offense super efficient.
Pollard did look great on Sal's bench yesterday, though.
Right, that's your fault, by the way. You made me feel bad about not starting Kenny Walker the third. Then I throw him in the lineup. He had a good game, but he didn't score 32 Pollard. He didn't score 33 Kamara, who was on my bench.
I agree. I mean, you weren't going to start him anyway.
I got to trade one of those days. I'm not trading to you. Pauly kid, who's your best receiver? Give me a deal. Who is it?
Well, it's CD Lamb. I remember I mentioned that to you. But I might take him. I don't know if I can get rid of him because Mike Williams is hurt. I could maybe give you Olave on the Saints, who's pretty solid.
I have
think
him
about
in a couple.
That.
He's all right. All right. I'll
maybe
look at
one,
it.
Maybe for one running back.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Hey, Bears, they were game. 483 rushing yards in the last two games. Eberflus is he runs a gritty team, I think. It could play spoiler down the road. Definitely not going to have the worst record, as I predicted. One of my many bad predictions. But they're kind of fun to watch all of a sudden. Saints, Brian, let's get you involved here. Your lifeless Raiders.
No.
2-5, 24-0. Brian, I had them -1.5. I had them +7.5, +10.5 adjusted. You don't have a chance of covering any of those spreads when you don't score. And now it just came. Mikey Meatballs is telling me Max Crosby traded for 2 second rounders to the Eagles. What are your thoughts? You didn't fall for it?
He is the one guy. They can trade.
April Fools.
They can trade everyone else on that team. He is the one guy that they're not trading. But God, I knew
what the hell?
Funny.
What happened? I'll tell you what happened. First of all, I sent it out in the morning. Yeah, I tweeted it. What is this? Like 14 of us. Saints 2-5 against 2-5 against 2-4, whatever it was. We all took the Raiders on the spread, whatever.
I mean, of course we knew. I kind of knew as soon. It was before that, even though I picked the Raiders too when I picked it on the thing on like Thursday. I knew like every publication, everybody had the Raiders as soon as that. Mm-hmm. I mean that was the jinx.
Crazy.
Oh, they're awful. I had said that too. Like last week, you know, you beat the Texans. The Texans were in that game. It's just that the Raiders offensively in like the late third and into the fourth quarter played well. But other than that, the Texans.
How do you not score in a game these days?
Wow.
200 yards of total offense.
Carr had his jittery feet. I don't know what they
did. I think they had two rushing plays in the second half. How do you not score? If you're throwing like that, 15 for 26, 101 with an interception.
Yeah, well,
I don't get it.
Yeah, but even like whatever, even with Waller out, they still got to be able to put points up on the board.
Where's Hunter Renfro? Where are any of these guys?
He's such a bummer. I mean, Harry's fantasy team against me, he had Carr and Adams had four combined points between the two of them.
Well, Adams had the flu or something, right? He almost wasn't going to play anyway. But for God's sakes, 101 yards. And we'll get to one.
I got the flu right now. I'm on this podcast, right? I'm showing up.
I know.
You have the flu?
You're failing too.
I don't know. I got something. My throat's sore. I don't know.
Well, surprise.
I was going to say when you were on with Von John last night, you sounded like you were sick.
Aaron, when you used to have the flu, I remember you would it was very weird. You would put your head under like a hot lamp. Just a lamp, right? Like a desk lamp. Yes, okay. I have a vivid memory of this. You were like 20 years old. You had your head under a lamp and you would like spray chloroseptic into your throat. You give yourself like 20 shots of chloroseptic down your gullet there. All right. Well, you know, if you want to take a break and do that now, I'll understand. Babyface, do you have any recommendations for Harry and this flu?
Oh, my God. That'd be the only time a light bulb went off above Harry's head.
There you go. Anyway, Bri, Josh McDaniels must like these closed door meetings with Mark Davis.
How funny was that, though?
Gives him a chance to stare at his hair. Like, is that like three of these, right?
How bad is that? I mean, you know it's bad when you keep having closed door meetings with the owner. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. I will say this is part of it is, you know, McDaniel tried to bring in some of his own guys too, but the roster, and he's been terrible. McDaniel's been terrible. He should be fired probably after this year. But I will say the roster, there's been 5 or 6 years now of I've made fun of it before. You can't draft so poorly for this many years and then expect to be good. I mean, it's like the Cowboys. The Cowboys have drafted very well over the last 4 years.
And it
showed defensively, right?
Crosby's a third rounder?
Not fourth rounder,
Renfro was supposed to be decent.
I know, but you can't hit like three or four out of four, you know, 50
guys. What was
guys.
Waller? What round?
We didn't draft him, but.
All right. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Even picking up free agency, Chandler Jones has not worked out either.
No, not at all. I mean, he had that.
And somehow you're a road favorite again. I forget already who you're playing. Jacksonville. Oh, good.
We're back on the East Coast again. Well, this is the thing, too. You're back on the East Coast for 1 o'clock games, which I always thought I talked about this with another buddy. Yeah. But like, if you're a West Coast team coming East Coast, that should always be a 4 o'clock
game. I agree.
I don't know why.
So many teams just stay over now, right? So I guess they're in New Orleans, but they'll go back. I don't know what they'll do. Anyway,
they'll go back, I'm sure.
Speaking of West, the NFC West leading Seattle Seahawks. We touched on it, beat the Giants 27-13. That was Bry's bed ache. Eddie is, we'll find out tomorrow from him how he survived. Geno Smith, 23 of 34, 212, two touchdowns, and a monster drop by Lockett. His numbers could have been much worse. I'll say this. He is with some odds providers, some of which we may have worked with in the past, he's only between 30 and 35 to 1 to win the MVP. On Caesars, 100 to 1, Harry, if you want to have some fun with Geno Smith.
It's worth it.
MVP. I mean,
you look at the you want to throw in Russell Wilson along with after the trade with the other NFC West quarterbacks, and Geno Smith is dominating everybody. Everybody stats wise.
I'm looking now. Maybe Parley Kid is right. You know who leads the league in passing yards right now? I guess because he has 8 games. Some of these other guys have 7. Parley Kid, you know who leads the league? Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I may have given it away there by saying Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
Well, he throws like 50 times a game. So I think that helps him, right? They're always throwing the ball. They seem to be behind.
Yeah, I'm looking at his percentage. It's right there with everyone else's. Like, you're right. 22-67 leads the league. Yeah, 283 averages. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception.
I think I have Brady to lead the league in yardage.
All those are underneath for 8 yards, and they complete them, and they get a couple first down that way. He might go to Evans once or twice long, but he doesn't go to anyone else.
Well, you're right. He does have the most attempts by 15 over Kyler and than Justin Herbert. Yeah, all right, it was just interesting. Interesting. I know nine touchdowns is nothing great because, like, Mahomes is 20. Yeah. But I was just trying to give Geno Smith some love. He's eighth overall. Anyway, Packers, Bills, Sunday night. Bills. Well, what do you want to say about the Bills? They beat the Rams, the Baltimore, and KC on the road. They're outstanding. And then they beat the Packers in first place, to whatever you want to say about Tennessee at home. Packers will cover the 10.5. We were on Spotify Live rooting that on. Some of you may have even gotten 11.5. I know the game was in hand, but Packers actually played well, I thought, in the second half. Too little, too late. And now, is anyone biting on plus 180 for Rodgers to lead this team to the postseason?
No way.
Wow.
No way.
So crazy. Nobody.
I don't think
they
can.
Still lost by what they lost by last night.
Have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers.
When Aaron Jones finally had a good game, and they were able to run the ball against Buffalo, actually, and they still lost handily. It's not happening for them.
Well, didn't expect them to win this one. They've lost four in a row, though. But Harry, to your point, not a lot of relief in the schedule. No. At the Lions, which you might say is a win, but they're 5-5 against them in the last 10. I know a couple of those were, like, at the end of the year. It didn't matter. But anyway, 5-5, home for Dallas, home for Tennessee, and at Philly. You're starting to think, Bri, that they're not going to make it. Some of these teams are not going to make it.
Yeah.
We talked about Packers, Bucks, Rams, 68-1 before the year to all three not make it. If you've got two NFC East teams as wild card teams, which is looking pretty solid right now, a team like the Packers are going to be out, right, Bri?
Yeah, well, you have to hope that either Giants, whose schedule is probably too easy to fall out, right?
Exactly.
Right now, the Giants to fall off, or like the Seahawks, right? Yeah. The Seahawks have to just, like, fall off. Because I mean, when you look at that 49ers team at 4-4, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how they lose to certain teams, right? I mean, they should be better. They're right there. I mean, they're really only, like, you know, they're almost they're just a game back of a playoff spot, I guess. I mean,
I was looking at the schedule.
Even to throw in Washington and the NFC East. I mean, the Giants and Giants haven't played Washington yet. And like Brian just said, the Giants' schedule's pretty easy. You know, there's a win or two for either one of those teams in that mix too. And Green Bay, like you said, the schedule is killer.
Mm-hmm. All right, another team that is 4-4 and leads the division now, NFC South, Falcons. They beat the Panthers in overtime, 37-34. Most controversial game of the day, I would say. They should have had this one, the Panthers. P.J. Walker hits D.J. Moore, 62-yard touchdown pass. But Moore gets penalized for taking his helmet off, and the Falcons elect to take the 15 yards on the extra point attempt and not the kickoff, and Andy Pinheiro missed the extra point, sends the game to OT. In OT, the Panthers miss another field goal.
33 yards.
That was set up 33 yards by a Mariota interception. I don't know about this rule, Parley Kid. The idea is DJ Moore should know. They'll take your helmet off, but you could do it on the sidelines, but you can't do it in the back of the end zone, right? But you could also, as a team, choreograph the sound of music in the end zone, and the refs will dance along with you. But you can't take your helmet off and show your face. Is this Afghanistan? What is this? This is so weird.
It's kind of lame. But I'm pretty sure he had a teammate rush over to him, go like, no. Like,
yeah,
it looked like one of his teammates came running up when he saw him about to do it. So right. They know the rule. That's the rule. It's a stupid rule. I'm not really sure the exact why that is. I don't know if it's a safety issue or if it's just a showboating issue. I don't know what the rule, why that's the case. I guess as long as you're on the field of play, you can't, that's the field of play. You can't take your helmet off. Right. So
you can celebrate with the fans. You could jump into the front row with them and celebrate, but you got to leave your helmet off. I don't know. Babyface, you don't like this rule?
Well, see, if we're going by the word, the letter of the law, he wasn't on the field of play. He was out of the end zone. So
it's so funny. Is this reviewable? Can you see where his feet were when the helmet actually came off?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Definitely out of the end zone.
The 62-yard bomb shouldn't have been allowed. That was crazy that happened. Get more secondary back there, Atlanta.
Here he goes. He's still talking about Kyle Schwarber.
Get more secondary back there on that play.
Bombs away.
Harry, I said the same thing when it happened. I'm like, what was up with that play? I mean, I think they had a linebacker covering Moore. And I think the linebacker was hoping the safety was going to get over there, and they kind of just took too long. It was unbelievable. Perfect pass, though. Perfect pass.
Peter King covers this with Next Gen Stats numbers right there. It was the least probable pass completion this year. It was like 11%. And, you know, P.J. Walker doesn't ever really throw 60 yards, like is the other thing, to get that in flight.
P.J. Darnold still rides.
I mean, Eddie Spaghetti could throw 60 yards on his knees, but this is P.J. Walker we're talking about. So that was and it wasn't like a Hail Mary either, right?
He was going for
D.J. Moore in double coverage. So, yeah. All right. Anyway, so Falcons, there you go. First place. But that's a team we want to play, right? Parlay Kid, if we're... If we're a wild card, we want to go to Atlanta.
I don't know.
Harry, if the choices are Atlanta or Tampa Bay or New Orleans or San Francisco.
Dallas would kill Tampa Bay in the playoffs. It'd kill them. Atlanta's got weapons on offense.
I don't know if you want to play. I agree with you, Sal. I think you'd want to play Atlanta. That being said, and I've said this forever. I've always been, I think baseball, any of these playoff formats, winning the division gets you to the playoffs, but you should be seeded based on your record. That's it. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. So they maybe shouldn't get it. You're saying they should come to Dallas if
that's how it should be. You go 7-9 or, 8-9 now, say, and you win your division, or 9-8. And it's the worst record amongst the playoff teams. Yeah, feel good that you got to the playoffs, but you're going to have to go on the road. Sorry, your division stunk. That's how it should be. And I would say the same thing if the Cowboys won their division and had the worst record amongst the teams.
I'll take my chances, Harry. Micah Parsons shadowing Marcus Mariota. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, as of now,
they would have no weapons against Eagles.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's what I'm saying. Eagles dominate the Steelers. We're now 2-6, 35-13. They stay undefeated. Their defense is not getting enough credit, I don't think. They've given up 17 or fewer in 5 of the last 6. And then A.J. Brown has a monster day offensively. 6 catches, 56 yards, 3 touchdowns, all in the first half. What do you want to say about this, babyface? I mean, 2-6, I think it looks like Tomlin's streak of having a 500 or better team is gone now, right?
All I've got to say is happy Halla. How the hell is Matt Canada still the offensive coordinator this morning? What a mess. And all you can do is hope that the Steelers learn from the Eagles, that this is how you rebuild a franchise. You just blow it up. And
well, they blew it up. You got Kenny Pickett. Yeah, you have that's your quarterback of the future, for better or worse. I'm not sure.
Well, I think the frustration boiled over. You heard Pickett after the game saying even they don't understand why they're doing the same thing over and over again. Bill Cowher called the Steelers out at the halftime, which he never does.
Right.
And so, this will be a big wide open, big rest of the season for Tomlin now that we're not going to go 500, which is, that's the standard. The standard is the standard. To go 500.
You have a bye now, and then Watt should come back, right? After all this, he should be a little healthier, right?
He'll definitely help, but it's crazy because this division is still, you're still not out of it, and it is such a long season, but it's hard to watch. I mean, Najee Harris really did not look great. And
that's a tough pick. That's not looking like a great pick. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts.
Bad I was pick. Trying to make that was a terrible pick.
Yeah, not good. Jalen Hurts now plus 375 for MVP. I mean, he just looks so solid. But the number 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, you compare it to like a Mahomes 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
How many rushing touchdowns does he have though?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Right. Rushing, where is he?
Yeah.
Oh, does he have 5?
Sometimes it's overrated stats for quarterbacks because.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. True. All right. So I do remember that. Harry did have a win. Yeah. So wait, where is it? 5? I'm looking at his numbers.
At least 5.
Are you sure it's 5?
Might be 6.
No, it's 6. He has 6. Yeah.
I guess the question with the Eagles right now, though, is like they're I mean, I guess, you know, they did beat the Vikings early, and they beat the Cowboys without Dak. But they rolled the Vikings,
and they're running. If Sanders gets plenty of carries, he does good, too. They can run the ball.
I think they're
very good.
I think they're very good. It's just that, you know, they may never get tested, this team, until the playoffs.
Right. I don't know if I put them in the Bills category just yet, but they are beating up on everybody on their schedule pretty much. Patriots, Jets, the Pats fans crying about Mac Jones. I gave it to Sim and Jess. They're like, just shut up already. It's embarrassing. And then he comes out, and then you see what a real team with a real quarterback problem has right there. Zach Wilson, 3 interceptions. And now the Jets, damn it. I wanted to jump on it. The no to make the playoffs was like -143. Now the no is -280. Oof. And they have, you know, they're probably going to lose like 5 more games, right? Well, they'd have to win 5 more games, right? To go 10. And they have the Bills twice still.
No Hall hurt.
Belichick passes George Halas. Yeah, of course. Yeah. There you go. So say what you will. Patriots, just like the NFC East, the AFC East, bottom dwellers are 4-4. Patriots and the Commanders. So it's going to be interesting to see who grabs a wild card spot there. Lions 1-6 blow a double-digit lead to the Dolphins, 31-27. Tua, 382 and 3 touchdowns on my bench. Good job by me.
Jeez, how many points did you get that for?
Tyreek Hill, 188 yards. I had 32 from Tua. I had 33 from Pollard and 32 from, who am I missing? Kamara. So I had like almost 97 points.
Just from scored 90 points in 3 weeks. Course.
But anyway. I know. Well, who do you want to trade?
I offered you
Kamara for Adams. Kamara for Adams. Wow. And you
yeah, but
it.
We would have to reject that trade because Harry's team is done. He's done.
I mean, to me, I know Larry has Cooper Kupp, but I feel bad going after him too. But I could make it really worthwhile. Anyway, Lions don't seem like they should be 1-6. They're in trouble.
The hard knocks curse restarts.
Yep. There you go. Vikings winning the close ones. 5th consecutive win. I think they're, most of them are by one score. 34-26 over the Cardinals. They gave Kyler Murray every single opportunity to come back in that game. He threw 3 touchdowns, and then Hopkins made a ridiculous catch. They're going to be exciting. I don't think they stick around, the Cardinals, at 3-5. But are the Vikings, Bry, in the best shape to clinch a division over anyone else? Like even the Bills, I think.
Ooh.
I think the Vikings... like Nick Mullins may be able to finish this division off. They're 3.5 games up on Chicago and Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think looking at their schedule, I think they got it. I mean, the Packers, obviously, you know, if they win that game, then they're only 2 back when they play again. So I don't know. They've been a fortunate team, right? I mean, you know, Harry said this last something. You know, last year they lost all the close ones. This year, it's just the kind of law of averages, right? Now they're winning all these close games. I don't think they're I don't think they're great. It's kind of like how the Giants were playing, but you're probably right. I mean,
30.
Yeah. I mean,
And then that's Darius Smith had a great game finally against Cardinals. So that was
straight games,
that's
guys.
That's
38 straight games. Kirk Cousins, one touchdown pass leads the NFL. 38 straight games, D.
Pretty good.
That's fine.
Did you say that's fine?
Is that what you said?
It is okay.
Why
does no one trust
him? How about
them,
that Russian touchdown?
Nobody trusts him in football.
Showing some Jets.
And nobody trusts him. And you don't even bet the Vikings.
Right, exactly.
I have the Vikings.
Yeah. 49ers once again beat the Rams. So this is 8 straight. I know they got them in the playoffs, the Rams did. But this is 8 straight regular season.
Big trouble.
Rams are in trouble. This is, I guess Cooper Kupp's okay. But this was the most embarrassing loss of the day. I mean, the 49ers fans completely took over SoFi, which is ridiculous for a team. You're playing a team that just won the Super Bowl. Christian McCaffrey took over the game. I know he played last week, but this was really his, you know, hey, let's show you our new shiny toy here. Rushes, catches, and throws for a touchdown. First player to hit that trifecta since Tomlinson in 2005. Debo didn't even play.
Yeah.
So I don't know. McVay really, you know, is really can get owned, Harry, by this guy over and over and over.
More than anything, the Rams were coming off a bye week. So you figured that, and then, you know, I gave them out against our odds on Friday thinking that okay, let's fix these problems. Let's fix the offensive line problems. Let's get Stafford right. Let's get the running game right. And what did they do? None of that. None of that. The running game is still awful. A guy named Ronnie Rivers from Fresno State led them in rushing with 8 carries for 21 yards, and McCaffrey made a mockery of the Rams, embarrassed them. The Rams, I guess if you want to look, Bucks, Packers, Rams, who's really in the most trouble? I think it's the Rams.
No.
It might be the Rams, but this Rams team cannot score.
Yeah,
I think they can't score.
That's a close one.
What did I say the Packers were to not make the playoff? Let's look this up now. I mean, I know these are just odds.
You're waiting for this Rams team, but nothing happens.
Well, their secondary was really bad, too. I mean, even the McCaffrey touchdown catch, like, how does that guy get frozen, right there? Mm-hmm. That's your man. That's who you're covering. And just it got worse and worse from there. Make the playoffs. The Rams are... You might be right, Harry. The no is -168. The yes is +146. Mm. So yeah, it's close between them and the Packers. Unbelievable. We're looking at this all at once. All right. Titans beat the Texans. You know, Derrick Henry dominates 32 for 219. All-time leader in touchdowns of franchise. He breaks Eddie George's record. Malik Willis, 55 yards passing in a winning effort. You should have to get to 100. Parlay kid. I think this should not count as a win unless you get to 100 yards passing. Didn't there, Brian? Didn't they used to be like kickboxing? You had to throw 3 kicks around for it to count, or did I make that up? I know it's not like that anymore.
I think you made that up. Was that a movie or something?
Okay. Good. Yeah, I think that was a movie. No, there's something where there's a minimum you have to. Anyway, it's embarrassing for the league and for Lovie Smith, who's head coach and defensive coordinator for Houston, but they're 1-5-1, and it's looking like, is there any doubt they're going to be the worst record? I guess there's a little bit of doubt because everyone's weird this year. But Parley Kid, do you have the Texans as your worst record?
I believe 125? I do. Yeah, I think I have them as the worst record. I'm not surprised. Lovie Smith doesn't really, as head coach material, doesn't really inspire much. And that roster is just not very good. It's the way it is. I mean, this is the new NFL now. You can win with your quarterback just not really making any mistakes, really, even though I think he threw an interception yesterday too, Willis.
He did.
Right? So, it's when you can run like that and your defense can stifle the team, you can win now. You can win. We've seen some teams do it, and the Titans are doing that this year. I mean, geez, where would they be? If they had AJ Brown, would you? How good would you feel about that team? Pretty good, I think. But
I know.
But then again, I don't know.
Simmons is making a case for Vrabel for Coach of the Year. He thinks they have nothing.
Well, the conference stinks, Sal. Still stinks. So.
The division. Yeah, yeah.
The division, sorry, yes.
I mean, he had the most wins last year,
also,
right?
It's actually worth mentioning, though, because you do not have A.J. Brown anymore, and you're sitting at 5-2. And, he's done a good job.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, it helps when you could just give the ball to Henry. I mean, he looked great. We all said he looked one of his best games we remember, right?
I mean,
four straight 200-plus yard games against the Texans.
Yeah. If you're not going to get to third and four or worse.
Vrabel's beaten Andy Reid in Arrowhead in the playoffs before, so he gets it done.
I know, but that's where, the Texans, with any type of coaching, you have to come out. You can't have a conservative game plan, really, against the Titans because you want them playing from behind. The Titans need to play from behind. If they're if they're up on you, it's going to be impossible to beat them. So you want to kind of like, I don't know. I think you got to take chances if you're like a team like the Texans against the Titans. You got to take chances early.
And we're going to see that next week, Harry. Titans at Chiefs. So, and a double-digit underdog at that. Commanders beat the Colts. Another weird AFC South team is 3-4-1. 17-16, best division in football, the NFC East. Taylor Heineke, game-winning drive. Ellinger was fine. Maybe Matt Ryan gets some 20 points.
It wasn't his fault, though. It was the two fumbles inside the 20, which one of them was Jonathan Taylor, where you didn't get points. You have a 9-point lead with 6 minutes. You run it up the middle 3 times, so you don't get the touchdown. You get the field goal to go up 9, and then you give up two scores in the last 3.5 minutes and you lose the game. You can't do that at home.
And then another mirage that only Harry saw. He thought Ellinger got there for the first down when they were short.
Well, you thought he got there. I did because of the when he started
really
going
bad,
down, right? He was going forward. He wasn't doing the slide. So he should have got an extra half a yard and he didn't get it. So yeah, well, you marked it, he didn't get it. But he should have got it because he should have got that extra half yard because he went forward. He didn't go back.
Oh, but you were
I was, because the refs, and where they spotted it.
He should have gotten it because he should have gotten it.
Spotted it. Was late getting to that area. So that was an absolute guess by the ref of where the ball should have been spotted. And it was short, in my opinion, of where the because he was lunging forward, not back. If he was going back, I get where you start where he starts to slide or jump. I'm just telling you.
Harry's lost me.
Does anyone know what he's saying? It was short. Yes. Yeah. In your opinion, in everybody's opinion, it was short.
He was leaning forward, so the ball should have went where it was at, not where it was spotted. He was going forward, so he didn't get touched till he was at the first down.
Those balls are hitting the head too much. 40 minutes whatever. In. All right.
Anyways, listen, Colts blow 9-point lead 4 minutes ago. That's all.
Harry, what do we do, Harry, you sent me a text yesterday after that Colts game. You're upset. You said you were upset, and then Angie came in, and what was she showing?
I mean, I'm a super sweetheart, considering. I had just lost my, you know, forget that I lost the guy who finished second in golf and that Justin Jefferson didn't get 100 yards receiving, which cost me $450 when he had 98 with 13 minutes to go. So the game ends. Mm-hmm. I lose the Colts on a moneyline $1,450 parlay, getting back almost $500. And she comes over right after the Colts lose and wants to show me a TikTok video of two golden retrievers, one catching the ball and the other one sitting there and not catching the ball. And she was laughing so hysterically. She thought it was so funny and needed to show me after I just got smoked with the Colts.
Oh, that's nice.
Look at Darren. Look at Darren. He loves it.
You forget about everything, right?
I mean, and Darren, I was nothing but a nice Darren.
That's how marriage
Darren, this is new
that's
to me.
How marriage is, Harry.
Darren, this is new to
be
me.
Given
marriage is new to me. I understand this. I'm learning it. So instead of me, you know, firing off or whatever, I just sat there and I'm like, oh, that.
I know.
We've been together for years.
Which means
what
now
would you
I
give
could
yourself
probably
as
be like,
a husband,
get that
Harry.
Out of my face. And I didn't do that. I took it.
So, right. So, what would you rate yourself as a husband 25? On a scale 1 to 10?
You see, again, he's not able to see the spot correctly. No, Babyface, what do you think about this?
I could just see like Harry having a problem with how the dog spotted the ball, and he's
right, exactly. Like, exactly. All right, listen, let's take a break. Oh, let's talk Caesars here. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingNDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, quick break. We're going to break down the Monday Night Football game when we return.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we are back. Monday Night Football tonight, Cincinnati, Halloween night, laying 3.45, the over-under at Cleveland right there, the mistake by the lake. I'm taking the Browns. How about this? Bengals lost 12 straight road primetime games, Harry. 1-22 straight up. 5-16-2 against the spread in their last 23
they did cover against the Ravens on the road
games.
Which was a night game.
Covered against the Ravens
2 weeks ago.
When was that? Was that this year?
1917. Yeah. They did cover.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But it's 12 straight losses. It's crazy. And no Jamar Chase and Myles Garrett. I mean, it's a rarity that Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney are both healthy for a game. So I think we're going to see if that O-line holds up. I don't know. We're getting excited about that offensive line of the Bengals. They've allowed 6 sacks in the last 2 games. That's not great. I say it falls apart even more tonight in a must win for Cleveland. 6 losses in your cook, Bry, I think, right?
Yeah.
Chubb has a good game. He leads the league 740 yards, 8 touchdowns. That interior line is a little banged up for the Bengals. And Brissett comes alive. I'll talk about him more later. 81% against the Ravens. He keeps the hot hand. Bengals night road woes continue. Give me Cleveland and the over 26-23. Bry, you like the Browns as well.
Yeah, I like the Browns. I'm buying it up to 3.5. Is 3.5 still -120 on Caesars? I don't know why I like it so much, but aside from the Patriots game, this team has been in every game, right? They've blown a few late for sure. But they dominated this series last year, right? The Browns. It's funny to think the Browns have won 7 of the last 8 in this series. Like, how bad do you have to be for the Bengals to lose 7 of 8
played one game last
to the
year.
Browns? Yeah. That just seems No, obviously, but it's just that's just a terrible stat for them. And without Chase, I think you know
this. Well, who know the Browns quarterbacks, Harry, that we should be excited that they won maybe 7
Baker. Baker.
Yeah.
Baker, that's it. But without Chase's Bengals offense could be, you know, they could be a little bit out of sorts in this game. I think it's a little lower scoring, and I think it's 23-20 somebody, but I'm taking the Browns 3.5.
All right, Browns in the under parlay. Kid, you, me, your brother, all on the Browns.
Yeah, like Brian had alluded to, the Browns in 4 of their 5 losses have lost by a total of 9 points in 4 of those games. They've been in every game. Throw away the Patriots game, which was a real clunker at home for them, and they could have won almost every single game that they've played. They'd usually give Cincy some fits, especially at home. I think they're going to be a little bit desperate tonight, like you're saying, Sal, and I think what that really should mean is what we should see, and Harry should agree with this with me, we should see a ton of Chubb tonight. I'm sorry. Like, let's get this guy more than 15 carries tonight. Let's get him 20 to 25. Let's get him the ball. Get him the rock. Try to pound it. Establish that running game if you're the Browns, which I think they're going to do tonight. Keep the ball out of Burrow's hands as much as possible. And I'll take the home dog getting the 3, Sal.
Well, and they also may keep the ball out of Kareem Hunt's hands because everything you hear is he's on the trade block. What is that, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern? So you might see more Chubb than you even normally would. So, all right, Harry, make this right. Thank you for taking the Bengals because if all 4 of us take the Browns, it's
down
over.
To 2.5. I have a graphic that we put up on Twitter. I did originally have Cleveland, but I've switched my selection here. Yep, and I'm betting and I'm putting money on the Bengals.
This is not right.
We can change it if you want. I'm just saying I think they're still without Chase and Burrow, they're still better than Brissett and the Browns. I think they're going to rally here to a division road win and keep pace with the Ravens, who won on Thursday. Cincinnati has in their games, they've won by an average of 12 points per game this year. Their three losses are by just a total of 8 points. Their O-line has been a lot better, hasn't allowed more than three sacks since week two of the season. I think they're going to give time for Burrow to make plays, especially versus the in-state rival here. Browns, who give up the third most points in the league. I'm going to take Cincy even without Burrow, minus the 2.5.
But why? It's not without Burrow. It's without Chase. But why did you? What changed your mind? I get it if you have to make two changes a week. If you have to contradict. But what happened between Friday and today?
Overall, listen, the Browns are a losing franchise for the most part. Bengals are turning the corner. I understand. Push comes to shove, right. I will take the better quarterback here in Burrow, and because he's been lighting it up, and it has been bombs away. We'll get to that in a little bit too lately. Since he to win by a field goal, I'm taking that.
All right. So it was push on Friday when you took the Browns, but push came to now you're shoved and you have to take Cincinnati. But this is one of those just saying scenarios that I'm just never going to win. Babyface, what do you think of this?
Oh man, Harry, I'm trying to defend you, but you're changing your mind more than you change your shirt lately. This is, I don't know what to do. Right. You've had a problem with every long drive. This NFL, you even said Parlay Kids, long drive this weekend took too long. That's right. You're back and forth on everything.
All right, let's hit these props because people are all over Burrow, some of us. This doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going Jacoby Brissett over 1.5 touchdown passes. He only has 6 in 7 games. He has 2 in his last 4 starts. But I think it's going to be highest scoring. 5 of his 6 touchdown passes are at home. And does all right at night. He had 110 passer rating in that Thursday night game against the Steelers where he did have 2 touchdown passes that in a winning effort. Call me crazy to take the plus money here, but 1 to Cooper, 1 to Peoples Jones. And just like that, everyone's back on the Jacoby Brissett bandwagon. Plus 152. I like that high number for Brissett. Parlay Kid. Oh, Brian, we'll go to you. Peoples Jones over yards.
Peoples Jones over 43.5 receiving yards, minus 129. You got to lay. But I think Peoples Jones has been a pretty good part of their offense recently. You know, when you look at his stats, he's averaging 5 receptions and 67 yards over his last 4 games. And Njoku's not playing tonight, so he's going to have to take on a little bit of a bigger role. I could easily see, you know, Brissett likes to hook up with him deep. I could see one big play from him that gets him, that one play gets him close to 43.5 itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say he goes over.
All right. All right, Bry, Harry and Parlay Kid have Burrow props. We'll start with you, Parlay Kid.
Yeah, I'm taking Burrow over 23.5 completions. I know I just said I like the Browns here, but I do think, look, since he is a passing team, right? I know Mixon runs the ball pretty well, but since he is a pass-first team, they like to throw the ball. No Chase, I don't think that really makes much of a difference. It just means more Boyd and more Higgins for this team, and maybe more of their backs catching the ball out of the backfield. Burrow averages 26.5 completions on the year per game. He's gone over that number 5 out of the 7 games so far this year. So I'll take it at plus 108. I think I'm getting favorable odds for Burrow there. So let's take it. Over 23.5 completions.
All right, Harry, a little riskier, even though it's minus money, with the longest completion, over 39.5 without Chase, Jamar Chase.
No problem. Burrow. Bombs away, Burrow will start. He's still going to find a way to mix in the short passes with some long passes. Had a 60-yard touchdown to Tyler Boyd last week, a 60-yard touchdown the week before versus New Orleans. And in fact, Burrow has touchdowns from 56 yards or further in 4 of the last 5 weeks, and just one of those was to Chase. And by the way, 2 weeks ago, Cleveland gave up a 53-yard pass to Bailey Zappe of the Patriots. I'm going to go Burrow over 39.5, longest pass.
All right. Now, if this were Friday, you would have said way on
the
way.
Yeah, I mean,
no
this is
way.
Friday.
No chance he breaks into the 20.
Four touchdown passes at plus 1,200.
It's Monday. There's a lot going on. You know what? He was showing a video of two Dobermans playing catch, and it's inspired him to change his mind. So here we are. All right, first touchdown. We have not been successful. Harry's been successful with this. I don't know. How many have we done, Barley? Like, it's 16 of these. If we've done 7, 8,
yeah,
I don't
probably
know,
15, about 16.
14, 15, 16 in there. Harry's the only one to win out of all of us. That's astounding for these first touchdown bets. I think you've won four times, Harry. All right, we'll let you lead it off. Mixon's the favorite at plus 375 to hit pay dirt first. Chubb is right there at plus 380.
No, and, I'll take the tight end. You're not going tight end's a pit, Brian mentioned a lot of times on these primetime games as well. I'm going to take Hayden Hurst at plus 750. Burrow may use his tight ends a little more, maybe Mixon a little bit when they're close to the in the red zone. Hurst is in, it's tied for second most on the team in receptions and targets. If you take away Chase, has six receptions in two of his last 3 weeks, has two touchdowns in the season, did have since his first touchdown in the Sunday night game versus Baltimore, we mentioned a little while ago. So Hayden Hurst at plus 750, not a bad price.
There you go. All right, Brian, you're going with the favorite. Mixon plus 360.
Yeah, I wish Harry was going with the. I wish Harry was doing the running back for us. Doing running backs probably not good. But yeah, Mixon at plus 375. You know, aside from maybe the Texans, that's the Browns have been one of the worst defenses against the run. They're giving up 10 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving touchdowns, so 12 total touchdowns to running backs this season. I think the Bengals without Chase will try to get Mixon going a little bit earlier in this game. I know those odds sucks, but I like it.
Brian, I am. I bother you about this guillotine league. I love it.
You have Mixon, right?
Well, I have Mixon and Boyd. I am up 42 points. The other guy, I'm in second to last. So if you're in last, you get cut, right? Ooh, you're done for the year. I'm up 42. I have Boyd and Mixon. The other guy below me has Burrow and Chubb. Ooh. I think I'm okay. Boyd.
42. I should be okay. 42 is a lot. Yeah, you got to survive. I mean, obviously, if you don't survive, you're out. But if you survive this week, you can go for a running back, right?
So I would go for Chubb, right? The only problem is, so that's how it works in the guillotine. Whoever's out, whoever's the lowest scoring team, loses, and all his players are up for grabs, and you get, you know, free agent bidding process. Chubb would help me a lot, except he's off next week. Oh, there's so much to think about. Anyway.
That's terrible. Yeah. Well, maybe you can sneak a decent bid on him and, you know, not.
Yeah, maybe right. So I'll go for less than he was if I could just survive next week. Parley get Burrow 17-1. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, usually I'll pick a guy from the side I'm going with the Browns, but we're getting the points there with the Browns. So I'm not worried about maybe Cincinnati going up early in this game with a touchdown. I'm taking Burrow at 17-1. He has had a rushing touchdown in 3 straight, Sal. I'm not sure if you can name a person on another team on one of these other teams. 3 straight games with a rushing touchdown by Joe Burrow. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think I'm getting favorable odds there, right? We finally maybe are getting some decent odds for a guy that's got 3 touchdowns on the year, in particular 3 straight. 17-1. 17-1. We need this one. We need it. Let's hit it. Let's go.
All right. I have 4 words that are going to be demoralizing for you. I'm going to bet that I am. And that's not going to be good for you, but I like that. I like 17-1 there. That's a good bet. I also like one of our old favorites, Amari Cooper, plus 950. That's who I'm going with. He had a little stumble last week against Baltimore, but before that, 12 targets in 2 straight games, 4 touchdowns this season, 8 red zone targets. Plus 950 for the Browns' number one receiver. Remember, Noah Njoku tonight, as Brother Bri pointed out, this is a game where I inexplicably think Brissett shows signs of brilliance. Yeah. Plus 950 for Cooper. Let's do this. Let's take another break, and then we'll get Mattress Mac himself on the phone.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, if you thought you had a lot of money on the Houston Astros, well, you haven't met our guest today. His $10 million could net him a record $75 million if the Astros win the World Series. Let's bring him in, Mattress Mack. Mattress Mack, how you doing? Welcome to Against All Odds.
How are you, Uncle Cousin Sal?
All right, that's good. That's a good start. I like that you corrected yourself. Most people don't correct themselves, and they'll call me Uncle Sal for like 40 minutes. But you did it, and
Cousin Sal.
I mean, this is great. $75 million. Now, explain to everybody, because it's not a straight bet of $10 million. You're going to offset some promotion you have with your mattresses, correct?
Yeah, we had promotion that says buy a mattress $3,000 plus. If the Astros win the World Series, you get your money back. We've been running that since May, so a whole lot of people can get a whole lot of money back if the Astros win the World Series.
And this is the biggest bet you've made, right? Or the biggest you'll potentially collect on, right?
The biggest payoff. I've made bigger dollar bets on Super Bowls, that things like that. But this is the biggest payoff, $10 million to pay $75 because I bet early in the year in the blended odds of 7.5 to 1.
Right. I got it at 10 to 1, but I'm only going to win a couple $1,000. I mean, ironically, the Mattress King has some sleepless nights thinking about this, right?
The Mattress King is okay with the Houston Astros. They're going to play very well. Hopefully they win, but either way, we will live to play another day. That's the way I always looked at gambling is they knock you down, you get back up, a setback's just a setup for a comeback.
And you haven't even considered hedging at all, right?
Not in 1,000 years.
Wow. That has come. I mean, is it because you just have billions of dollars, or it's just not, you think it's bad luck?
It's not in my DNA, and I'm a huge Astros fan. I believe in the Astros. They're in a good spot. Obviously, the Phillies are a great team, but the Astros have a lot of experience, and so I'm riding the horse I came in on.
Gotcha. Wow. And yeah, but you don't even have enough to afford a car. You're riding a horse. That's unbelievable. No. Well, this is now, why don't you have this much confidence in the Houston Texans?
Well, I will in a couple of years after they get the first round draft choice about 3 years in a row and have 20 first rounders on their team. So it's just a matter of time.
All right. There you go. Harry, Bride, Darren, anybody want to ask Mattress Mack a question? Harry, you must have something for Mack.
Do you not like?
Well, I know it's Celtics, basically, like Mattress Mack. Do you just do you not like no feeling of?
Gee, Harry, sounds like you're sweating more than Mattress Mack.
You don't sweat this during this time at all. You're not scared of anything. Nothing.
I ain't scared of nothing. That's why. I have a high tolerance for risk.
There you go. I love it. Opposite of parlay. That's right. All right. I do want to ask you, who is the Astros center fielder?
Nice. Opposite of parlay kid.
Chaz McCormick.
Oh. Is that right? I mean, I think Vierling and Brandon Marsh have played center. Okay. All right. I'll take that. We'll take that. Give us a prediction for game three. I want to ride you here. Do you think you guys finish it off in five, or is this going to get tight?
I said earlier it would be six games. The Astros would win game six to clinch the World Series at Minute Maid Park in front of a rabid crowd of Houstonians and Texans. I'm sticking with that, and I think the Astros are going to win tonight by a score of about 6-2.
Interesting. All right, I have it 5-3, but we'll take 6-2. Hey, have you ever thought of having a pillow fight event at a match, one of your locations? Because I'm pretty damn good. I've taken on the best. I've taken on Stone Cold Steve Austin, Lennox Lewis, The Undertaker. What about that?
I'm game whenever you're ready. I got Tempur-Pedic pills. We'll fight to the death.
All right. Wow. All right. To the death. I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
An MMA fight.
I wish us a lot of luck, Mattress Mack. I wish you more luck because you're risking more here. But let's go with these Astros. I think you and I are the only two rooting for them in the world anymore. I don't know what happened. Everybody hates this team. They say they cheat. What do you have to say to those people?
We have 7 million people in Houston rooting for the Astros, whether it's in the stadium or on the TV or on the radio. What I have to say is quit hating and start appreciating.
That's right. There you go. That's a good message for everybody in this country, and I think it'll save us as a nation eventually. Thank you, Mattress Mac. Mm. We will check in with you. Good luck with you tonight.
Cousin Sal, great to talk to y'all. Have a good day.
All right. There you go. All right. Mattress Mac. Not bad.
That was good.
He's confident.
Yeah. He nailed that McCormick thing. McCormick's been playing center field. He nailed it.
I thought he didn't play game one and two. No. He was center
one
field.
One and two, he started in center.
That's interesting. Nice.
Wow. Okay.
You got to appreciate a guy who puts his money where his mouth is, unlike some people.
Oh, that's true, Harry. That's true. You won't see him.
Listen, I think that last quote by Mattress Mac, I think Ben Kelly and some others should apply that to myself too.
To you?
I don't know how these mattress guys do it. There's a mattress store like every corner around here. I don't know how do they people. I've had the same mattress since I've been married. I don't know how what's going on.
Well, I will say, if you're going to get a mattress, if you live there, why would you go to
100%.
Him? 100%. Because he has these promotions.
But if everyone has five kids like you, Darren, then it adds up after a while, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and we'd have my kids go. We go through mattresses with my kids a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the idea. I think mattresses, Babyface, correct me if I'm wrong, they're probably marked up like 7,000% compared to what their actual value is, right?
Oh, I don't know. I still sleep on a bunk bed, so I have no idea.
There you go. You're right. All right. Let's get to game three. Astros minus 135 plus 115 is the comeback. First of all, for the series, Astros now minus 180 to win, even after splitting in Houston. Alex Bregman, Piacenti, favored to win MVP at plus 550. Mm. I don't know how this happened. He's only 2-for-8 with a double and a home run, but I guess because you can't. Well, because, Brian, I don't think you could give it to a pitcher at this point, right? And no one that we've seen so far.
No. I know. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know what to think. The Astros have to be kicking themselves a little bit. They could be up 2-0. They probably should. They lose that 5-0 lead. That 5-0 lead and then the 3-0 and then actually 5-0 in both games, right? And then, it was cut to 5-3. Anyway, I'm going Astros in the over. McCullers, great against Seattle, not so great against your Yankees. But he has completed at least 5 innings in all 8 starts he's made since that injury, since coming back. Finished 6 or more innings in each of his last 4 there down the stretch of the regular season. Syndergaard, one of my favorites, no longer a strikeout pitcher. Used to be, I think I found this on Action, 29% strikeout rate. Now down to 17%. That's going to hurt him. If he can't rack up the K, it's going to hurt him against this lineup. I like Astros first 5. I like the over in the first 5, and I like 5-3 Astros. Like I said, Harry, you're taking both the over and the under. No, what do you like?
No, I'm going to take a boost on Caesars at plus 210 that the Phillies win game 3 and that Harper records at least 1 base hit at plus 210. Thor gets another shot here in the postseason in the World Series. I think he's going to make the best of it, Sal. He's gone 5 1/3 so far this postseason. He's got 4 Ks, giving up just 1 earned run. And I think he sticks it to a lot of Mets fans here, including yourself, buddy. McCullers has won start against the Phillies this year, October 3rd. He lost 3, pitched well, but lost 3-0. Harper, by the way, to get the hit. Batting 392 in the postseason, 11 of his last postseason games, he has at least 1 hit. And at home in Philly in the playoffs, he's 9-for-21 with a hit in all 5 games.
All right, not bad. Now, I got to stick with the Astros. I have them minus 1.5 games for the series. So it would make sense that I think they pull out game 3. Parlay Kid, you're back in the Phillies.
I got to say, I didn't realize I'm looking at this Mattress Mac site. Yeah. And the guy sells everything. He's his store. gosh, it's impressive. So, grateful for everything, entitled to nothing. Mattress Mac.
That's
a great quote. That guy's got some good quotes, Sal.
I think $10 million, he'd be able to figure out how to zoom
in. I'm having a hard time now. I mean, between Jen and Anastasia, I had no problem rooting against the Astros. But now with Mattress Mac, I feel bad about rooting against the Astros. I don't know. Now I'm torn. I'm so torn. Oh my gosh.
I was at a wedding and they are universal. Like people are like, how can you root for this team? They're universally hated. They're the most hated team in sports. I think I'm trying to think how long that'll go for. It's like, I guess as long as Altuve's on the team, right? But people are like, well, who cares? Phillies and what their affiliation with the Mets. Everybody should be rooting against the Astros. I just don't feel it, I guess.
Yeah, but, well, we inherently hate the Philadelphia sports here too, normally. Right. So I'm riding with the Phillies tonight. Harry kind of said it all already. I think this is a very equal pitching matchup tonight between McCullers and Syndergaard. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to get the best from the Phillies. Like you said, the Astros probably have outplayed the Phillies in both games so far. So I feel like Phillies are due for a good one. I think that crowd's going to be rocking. And I think that's what carries them over the hump tonight. I think if anything too, this game probably goes over in my estimation. I think this game goes over.
Yeah, I think so too. Bri, though, you like pitching, at least from the Astros side here.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I like the Phillies. I still like the Phillies in the series with the plus 1.5 that I have for the series, but I kind of like the Astros tonight. You know, Syndergaard, we're talking about Syndergaard, but I'm looking at, you know, Syndergaard in over a month and a half has pitched 12 innings. Like the 13 innings. He's pitched 13 innings since September 15th. I mean, so I don't know how many innings they expect from him tonight. And he could easily be very rusty. I'm only picturing him going maybe.
Well, now you got to be looking. Do they have that number? Do they have the outs?
They don't have outs, but his strikeouts are 2.5. Mm. 2.5 for his strikeouts tonight. So he hasn't struck out a lot of guys, like you were saying, usually either 2 or 3 a game. So, I'm going to go with McCullers over 5.5 Ks. I think it's minus 105. Look, in 6 of his last 7. He struck out 6 or more. He struck out, 6 and 7 over the postseason so far. He obviously has to go to get this. He's got to go 5 innings too. And I know he's 15.5 outs, Sal McCullers is over under. But he in general, against the Yankees, only went 5 innings. Everybody else before that, for the last 5 starts, he's thrown at least 6 innings. So, yeah, I think he gets the way the Phillies lineup is, they strike out a bunch. So, I'm going to take him over.
There you go.
Half.
Fun game, fun series all of a sudden. Game 3, all going on during Halloween night, trick or treating. It's on the West Coast. There's a lot going on here during the trick or treating. Harry, you do have a story from Friday night, Saturday night? You went to the Coyotes game.
Yeah, I went to the Friday night, went to the home opener of the Coyotes, 5,000 seat arena with Ken. Against the Jets. I did bet the Coyotes on the money line. They were up 2 at one point and lose the game. But the thing is that, you know, home opener, everyone's excited and seats are great. And we're right behind the Coyotes bench.
This is a 5,000 seat arena,
right behind the Coyotes bench. I saw one of the players, the guy who scored 2 goals for the Coyotes, pull a tooth out of his mouth when he got hit in the mouth. But so, anyways, it's good atmosphere, good food, everything was fun. So then, all of a sudden, game starts, and behind us is this father, this kid that's 5 or 6 years old, and I guess the mother, she looked a little older. It could have been the father's mother. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, the kid starts kicking the chairs in front of us, like my chair, but really Ken's chair.
Not in front of you. And he's kicking your chairs.
Kicking our chairs behind us and in front of us. Behind us. And
he's kicking your chairs. Okay.
Kicking our chairs. And Ken, he's really kicking Ken's chair. And, you know, Ken's getting annoyed and he's looking at me like he wants to do something. And then after like the 5th time, Ken's looking back, you know, he does the turn. And the father has never said anything to the kid about stop kicking the chairs. And it's gone. Yeah. Now we're into the 3rd period. You know, it's tied at 2. And, we're into the game and we all got bets at me and Ken got bets. In fact, the guy behind us, he had used the F-bomb a few times saying, I better win this effing $175 I got on the Coyotes. So that guy's got bets on it too. He's swearing in front of his kid.
It's all over.
Yeah, everywhere, everywhere. It's all over in Arizona. So now third period starts and the kid starts kicking my chair because Ken moved. The people to the left of us were 4 seats down. No one was sitting 4 seats to the left of us. Ken moved down and the kid's kicking my seat.
Wait, and you didn't move down with Ken? So he's like 4 seats from
I stayed in my seat because I just, think it's good luck. I'm thinking I'm sick in my seat, whatever. Anyways, good luck. I look back and the guy doesn't say nothing to the kid about, I'm no fighter. I've said it before. I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. And I leaned back and I said to the guy, and I don't know what made me say, because I'm just annoyed at this point that he had never said nothing to the kid. I said, "Do we have a problem?" And he's like, "What?" And at this point, by the way, I put on my Michigan sweatshirt on. So like, it's crazy. Well, I'm just saying, like, everybody's saying, go blue.
Second,
like, I'm in Ann Arbor. No, I'm just saying.
Were you topless before then? Or what does that matter?
No, what I'm saying is everybody's saying, go blue. People who are fans of hockey know Michigan's the best team in hockey. So I don't know what people say. So all he said to me, go blue, man, go detail. Blue. And I said, no, go blue. Do we have a problem?
And
he's like, no, we're cool. I said, okay, then. And I turn around. The next 12 minutes, the kid never kicks a chair again.
Wow.
H-Dog, take care in the business, taking care of business everywhere.
Wait a minute. Hold on. A couple things here. So what if the guy said, yes, we do have a problem? I mean, it's just such a weird thing to say.
I know. Do we have a problem? Kicking my chair in my friend's chair the whole game.
Is this another story that I'm starting to think Harry steals his story from Seinfeld episodes?
Yeah.
You know what Costanza's in the theater?
Absolutely
true, Dan.
Ken is four seats away, so he can't verify it, right? No one can confirm it because he's four seats away. For some reason, you didn't move, and the kid is now kicking your chair, but not the open chair?
No, because it's too far. Ken's now four seats away, so he's too far away.
I understand, but you didn't switch seats. You didn't switch to Ken's old seat, right? Why is he now he's just decided to kick your seat?
That's why I got mad, because I'm not getting
the message.
I'm mad at the
easily, the message could have easily been sent by just moving your seat. Like,
no way. No.
Don't give us this bad luck. You don't even root for the Coyotes.
Why am I bad luck? I had 50 at plus 150 on them.
He didn't want to sit next to Ken. I get it. But I don't know. But what's your response if he says, yeah, we do have a problem?
That I don't know. Not sure. I kind of felt like I wanted to grab it. Weird. Like, I've never, like, because this guy's making a mockery of the whole situation by not telling the kid, hey, listen, calm down, bud. No more kicking the chair.
Did he know? He knew what you were talking about when you said, do we have a problem?
I think he knew. Yeah.
All right. I guess the kicking stopped, so it didn't matter. Kicking all stopped. Right. Babyface, what do you make of all this?
I actually do have a question. Harry, this might be why you didn't get to go to the second game, because if these guys have season tickets too, you might have just got yourself out of going to any more games.
Yeah, you can beat up a six-year-old. What? Who could trust you anymore?
I hear you.
Harry will never go back because he'll be too scared now to go back.
Right. That's
the food wasn't the greatest, so maybe you're right there.
The pillows weren't great. Food wasn't good either. Maybe Mattress Mac could hook you up with nice little linens and stuff to your like. All right, Harry, so what we learned is he hates kids and dogs. That's what we learned from this Outlook Bus podcast. So
there you go. Farther from the truth.
Hey, listen, we'll be back tomorrow. Harry, we got a Breeders' Cup thing we got to have to figure out.
Yeah,
I've been
we'll
entered into
out.
The contest for free, and we got to win the money. We'll discuss this more tomorrow.
I got
tomorrow.
A couple
we'll
guys who got some picks, too, so I got a couple picks coming.
Great. We'll discuss your Hendon Hooker Heisman pick. He's now a favorite.
Yeah.
Whoa, big game going on against
nice.
Georgia right there. You stand to win no money on your 40-1 proposition for Heisman winner. But anyway, it's fun to talk about. And that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and a Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.